A Playlist Original.
Welcome back to another episode of Unfiltered Adventures. I'm Steven.
And I'm Giselle.
And we are also known as The Lover's Passport. And today we've been getting a lot of requests for how we post so much. Right now we're getting out 67 pieces of content across Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, our podcast, and our blog. So we are doing six different platforms.
There's and multiple accounts on some platforms.
Yeah, so today we're basically just going to be diving into how we are able to manage that much stuff, get it out on all the platforms. Because for some people, let's say if you do a 40-hour work week, you spend 1 hour on every post. That's 67 hours a week. But we do not spend 67 hours a week getting all those posts up. So we're going to jump into kind of like the reality behind what it's like being a full-time creator. Because as Giselle said earlier, what were you saying about the...
Oh, yeah. Okay. So we were talking about this right before we started filming. And it basically, like, if you go on TikTok or Instagram, people are always like, oh, here's a day in my life as a full-time influencer. And it irks us so much because it's like, today I woke up and I made a smoothie and then I did my Pilates class and then I went and got my nails done. And it was so hard. I had to go to Target today and like drop $300 on a home decor because I'm renovating my guest room. And then I went back and I made this 3-course lunch. And then I went and I watched the sunset and that was it. That was my day. And I was like, what the hell? That is so not an accurate representation of what we do.
Yeah, is that, you know, that voice, if you talked in that voice, I feel like that's
I feel like I didn't even notice that I slipped into that voice until after, and you're looking at me funny right now.
I was like, where did this voice come from? Are you secretly one of these influencers?
It's the lifestyle girlies. Yeah. Well, some of them do that. Not everyone does, but that seems to be the ones that I see in my FYP all the time. And it's just such not an accurate representation. And then that's why we've had several conversations on this podcast before of why influencers get a bad rap and like why that word gets a bad rap is because of those people. It looks like they don't work at all.
If you need to know why Instagrammers or we'll say influencers get a bad rap, just go look at Threads. Like if you take the bottom 5% of influencers or the people that are causing like a lot of the problems that are complaining,
the drama,
overcharging brands, they're if you're like, oh my gosh, you need to charge your worth. I understand. But if you have 10,000 followers and you're trying to charge
like
a brand
$10,000
$10,000 for a post that's maybe going to get 2,000 views, you're crazy.
Like, that's a whole other tangent of an episode. But I think a lot of people just don't realize that influencers have to bring ROI to companies that they work with.
Yeah. I think that a lot of people are like the woe is me movement. Like I deserve all of this. The world is mine. But in reality, you also have to look at it from a bit. I think it's different because I own a small business and Giselle worked on the back end
of a small business
influencer marketing. So it was just very different when you start thinking of like how much to charge or what's the ROI and how can, and a lot of people see these like, oh, you need to charge your worth and charge. And I understand that, like, don't get me wrong. You need to charge your worth. You need to be able to get paid. Like you shouldn't be doing the whole, give me some shoes and I'll do a bunch of Instagram posts. Like, yes,
there's the
opposite, but there's both extremes and the amount of people in the influencer content creator world that is level headed in the middle
is slim.
I don't know. Don't quote me on it, but it's very, very small.
Yeah. But anyways, that's a whole side tangent. Basically today we're going to go over like almost our weekly workflow, I guess, but it really depends every week because our schedules are so all over the place because we are obviously travel creators. So sometimes we're home, sometimes we're traveling, sometimes we have a routine, sometimes we don't, but we still manage to do a lot.
Yeah, and it's not like we're working constantly. Like, yes, we do work a lot, but for instance, right now it's almost 9 o'clock as we're recording, and this is the first thing that we've done for work. We woke up, we had some nice coffee, I went for a run, took Karen outside. Like, we still have like...
I did not work out, but that's okay.
everyone has their different schedule. But so anyways, let's jump into like, I have all of these pulled up for exactly how many times we're posting. So let's go over that really fast, like why we post this kind of way. And it really comes down to, we started off just doing the Lover's Passport, right? We were just doing one Instagram account and we did that across platforms, but that has now changed. We have the Creator Passport, which if you're new here, the Creator Passport is kind of like our
it's almost like an extension of this podcast.
Yeah,
like when we're talking about content creation stuff, like not the travel side obviously, but I feel like a lot of what we talk about on here overlaps a lot with that account.
Yeah, it's basically like teaching people how to do the content creation. We are actually going to be launching this course 1 week from when this podcast goes live, which is kind of crazy. We're going to be launching on March 29th. So if you want to know more about it, we're actually doing a how to make $3,000 in 3 months for free. It's a free webinar teaching you how to make money really easily, whether you're trying to do content creation as like a side hustle or you're just maybe interested in it. I promise that you can probably make more doing that than trying to resell your clothes on Facebook Marketplace. So it's a free webinar. Go check out, send us a DM if you want to learn more about that. But that we have that account. Then we have our Unfiltered Adventures account, which is our new podcast. Since we're doing video now, if you're watching here on video, welcome. Make sure
I just woke up.
Make sure to hit that like and subscribe if you guys are watching from YouTube. But if you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, thank you for being here as well. But we have our video podcast now, so that's a new avenue. And I feel like those are really the main three that we're doing. So
Steven has a secret food account that nobody knows about, but we don't post on it yet. That's like the next fun thing.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like since we have three accounts, obviously these numbers are going to be a little inflated. Like right now on YouTube, we're posting 7 shorts on our Lovers Passports account. We're also doing 14 shorts on our Unfiltered Adventures account because we're trying to build that a little bit. And we're doing 2 YouTube videos a week. So we're doing one big YouTube video on the Lover's Passport, which typically is like 45 minutes.
They're like big, big episodes. Yeah.
Yeah. So we do that. And then on Unfiltered Adventures, we're doing this 1 hour post. But I mean, that's not as complicated to edit. It's much quicker. Maybe takes like a 4 to 8 hours to get a full podcast episode edited. So,
and we're not the ones editing it.
Yeah. So I feel like that we'll get to that. We'll talk about outsourcing first, but let's keep going through this. Next, Instagram, we're doing 7 posts on the Lover's Passport, 7 posts on the Creator's Passport, and 14 posts on Unfiltered Adventures. Once again, because we're trying to build that account. But honestly, I feel we'll talk about outsourcing and the workflow for
and automation.
Yeah, and how we're getting all of that done. But that's what we're doing on Instagram right now. TikTok, we're doing 21 posts a week, but right now we're only posting on the Lover's Passport.
Don't even have a Creator Passport TikTok.
Yeah, I feel like most of our audience that is interested in learning the content creation world and trying to do it is going to be coming from Instagram compared to coming from TikTok.
So. But also, I feel like on TikTok, our niche, like one of our travel pillars, one of our brand pillars on TikTok is still photography. Like yes. We never separated those out like we did on Instagram, because a lot of our top performing TikTok content is actually still the photography stuff.
Yeah,
so whereas on Instagram, it was one of our like lower performing pillars, on TikTok, it's still super, super prominent. So we never separated those out, but we can still drive people to the same place essentially. So
yeah,
didn't think it was a big deal not having 2 separate ones on TikTok.
Yeah, but we're only posting on that. We're not doing any podcast content on TikTok right now. Next, we're doing 7 posts on Facebook, which is just repurposing. Doesn't take a lot of time.
Yeah, they're not like new original posts. They're just reposts basically.
Yeah, we're doing 1 podcast every single week. Our goal is to get out 40 podcasts this year. So we have so many interesting ideas that we're excited to talk about. This is episode 2 of season 3, so expect lots more coming this
38
year.
38 more episodes.
Woo-hoo, let's go. And then we're doing 1 to 2 blogs every single week, and we're getting ready to launch a huge product, like I mentioned, the Creator Passport, launching next week. But so that's all that we're doing. That's what's making up the 67-plus posts every single week. And we've been doing that for like
a while.
Quite a while. Right now we're on day 850 something of posting on Instagram every single day. So let's start. We said we were going to talk about outsourcing first.
Okay, yeah, let's get into, should we go platform by platform and kind of talk about what we do and what we don't do? I feel like that in my head makes more sense.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
So I see YouTube up here first. So why don't we start with YouTube? We split up our tasks pretty like outwardly, so that way we're not overlapping on anything. So when it comes to our YouTube channel, I do all of the back end SEO research. So I'm the one doing like all the description boxes, tags, like keywords, the YouTube thumbnails. I do the thumbnail A/B testing, like all that kind of stuff. And Steven's the one who like gathers and sorts all of the footage. You don't do any of the editing anymore, right?
No, I don't. Yeah. I used to do all of the editing, but we've really got YouTube down to like splitting up the jobs. And we think that is, if you've ever heard other YouTubers or other like big content creators do it, they kind of talk about all the platforms like an octopus. Like if you are a content creator, you're an octopus, and every single one of these legs is like a different thing. So think if you have a marketer, you have an editor, you have the person that is coming up with the ideas. You have like writers.
You have your brand collab leg.
You have so many different things. And instead of trying to do it all, most people are going to get burnt out. And that's one of the things that we talk about in the Creator Passport is like how to not let that happen. It almost happened to us, I feel like.
It has happened to me several times. But like usually it happens in October and it's like the last push of the year and I'm feeling overwhelmed. We have a huge travel schedule. October is usually one of our busiest months for the business. And you just like hit a wall and you're like, I'm so tired. We literally were just talking about it this morning of how last year we were supposed to go to Patagonia in November. And I felt the need to like cancel that trip because I was so burned out. I was not like super excited to go. Like, obviously I would be very excited to go, but I didn't want to go and not like resent the trip, but like I wanted that excitement and really like stokage level to be high going there instead of being like, oh, I have to go on another plane and I have to go and pack again. And so I try and combat that a lot. And it hasn't happened to me in a while. But
and that's just with travel. I feel like you can get burnt out with like, let's say you were just an at-home content creator. I feel like you can even get burnt out.
Oh, 100%.
Just doing all this at home. You can, because there's so much to do. But
travel just adds an extra oomph on the burnout.
Well, as I was saying with the octopus, so if we look at YouTube, Giselle, like she said, does all of the SEO research. So she's in charge of thumbnails, which is literally could be its own job. You could have someone
We are now realizing we're A/B testing all of our thumbnails because the click-through rate difference is actually really interesting to take a look at. And we talk a little bit more about this in our like YouTube section of the course, but like looking at which thumbnails actually pull in the most views is fascinating. We found a trend of our top thumbnails all have blue, green, or orange. Yeah, that's it. Exclusively those colors.
It's so interesting. Mr. Beast even said that he literally goes in and he plans his thumbnails out for the entire year before they even start making the videos, which I think might be a little extreme. But yeah, that's like the importance. So there's like, she does all the thumbnails, all the SEO, which
I just went over this.
You need all that, and then I'm doing all of the like sorting, helping script, making sure everything looks clean cut. So when we get it over to our editor, it's a pretty quick process. So
and he's amazing. Love you, Ryan.
Yeah, he's actually helping us edit this, and that would probably be the first thing that I would say to outsource. If you were if it was just me or just Giselle doing all of this, the first thing I would say is hire like a quote unquote generalist, someone that just help you with everything. They need to be able to do a little bit of blog writing, maybe a little bit of community management, maybe a little bit of YouTube. And I mean, you don't need to hire them full time. Just find an assistant or someone, a quote unquote generalist, hire them for like 8 to 10 hours a week.
As an independent contractor.
Yeah. And I feel like especially if you're trying to make this your full-time job, investing in that is going to help you free up so much time to where you're not spending time. I know a YouTube video can take like 8 hours.
No, Steven would work for like 30 hours on a video.
Especially Ryan knows our editor. If you're editing like a 45 minute ultimate guide, like go watch our last New Zealand video. That video
takes hours.
So much time from sorting the footage to recording it to scripting, getting the SEO voiceovers done. Like there's so much that goes into one of those. But YouTube's its own animal. I feel like if you were a content creator and you wanted to go the farthest, YouTube probably can take you the farthest. But that also being said, it takes the longest to grow. It takes the most energy, the most editing. It's just probably the hardest one. Like if you took all of the Instagram posts for an entire month that we sat down, edited, wrote captions, did everything, that amount of same effort, I think, would go into one
or like two YouTube videos. Yeah. But also, I think, and we'll talk about this more, when you're looking at which platform to choose to be like your primary platform, YouTube is not our primary platform. Instagram is. And so that was an easy decision for us. I think that was the first thing that we decided to outsource because it let us like loosen our grip a little bit. Because it wasn't our primary platform, we weren't like, oh my God, this is the biggest decision we're ever making. And that turned out to be one of the best decisions we made to grow that channel. And right now, like we make about a little over 1,000 a month from ad revenue over there. So it's not like we're being super profitable because we are outsourcing and paying for our editor, but like down the line, we think it's going to be a worthy investment because we're still growing our channel. We're going to be scaling our ad revenue. And I think it will be worthy. I think we are definitely breaking even on it, but it's just like slightly. It's not like super crazy, but we want to put those videos out, and it just frees up our time to be doing other things, to be making more money in those other things.
I feel like, sorry not to cut you off.
I read this book called like the 80-20 principle. And I feel like between that and this other book called the 4-Hour Work Week, two really, really good reads. If you're an entrepreneur, I highly recommend reading both of them. But it really just talks about investing your personal time as an entrepreneur into like the 20% of things that are going to make you the most money. Like usually 80% of your income comes from 20% of your business. And YouTube is not that for us. That is Instagram for us. And so outsourcing the rest of the stuff that is not, the rest of that 80% has definitely helped us.
Yeah. And it's helped us be able to spend more time on the things that we're super passionate about. Like there's no way that we'd be able to start the Creator Passport and start Unfiltered Adventures and start all of these other things if we didn't outsource these other pieces that were taking up so much time.
And like with YouTube Shorts too, we talked about the long form, but we didn't talk about Shorts. We're not the one repurposing our Shorts anymore either. We have a virtual assistant and like almost business manager, would you call her manager? Not really manager, like a business consultant almost.
If we had multiple assistants, she'd be like the lead assistant.
She's like our executive business.
That sounds cooler.
I don't know. I wouldn't say, executive business person.
She's our, like, she's our generalist.
Yes. Yeah. She does everything. She's amazing as well. But like finding those people for your team makes such a big difference. I feel like this year is the first year we really have a strong team of contractors that we can trust. So we have like our video editor, we have her, we have our managers who have been doing all of our brand sponsorships for us, and then we have a team of blog writers, and then we also have, is that it?
And then we have a coder.
Oh yeah, like, and then we have our like web developer. Yeah, so all of them have been so essential in the past year. We talked about it a little bit before, and we'll have our managers on in a future episode, which will be really fun. But being able to outsource our like negotiations, especially last year when we were getting married and buying a house and moving into the house and still traveling and trying to scale our business, that just freed up so much of our time, not having to play the what's your budget? Yeah. What's your rates? Like game, like
it,
you know?
I feel like that was single-handedly the thing that really helped us explode our business. And not only that, but have a social or personal life as well, where we're not just working. Because if you would have asked us 3 years ago, like, how did you work full-time jobs and do all of the social media business and still have a personal life? I feel like the real answer
we
didn't have a social life. We would go to work. Like, G would go to work from 8 to 4. She'd get home and then work from 4 to midnight on creator stuff. And that was just because we didn't know how to outsource.
From Monday to Friday.
I feel like if we were to do that nowadays, we could take what we were doing and shrink it down into a much faster process. But when you're first starting, you just don't know.
And there's like some limiting beliefs of like, can I outsource? I'm so small. And like, no, I'm gonna be doing everything by myself because, you know, we're both stubborn people. Mm-hmm. And so we both did that while we were starting out. Like literally during the weekdays, Steven and I would only see each other for our lunch break. We actually worked across the street from each other, which was such a coincidence.
That was
hilarious. So like, it was nice because he would work in the afternoon, I'd work in the morning, and we'd share my lunch break together. And then after that, we wouldn't like really see each other during the work week. And then on the weekends, we'd go and create content from like Friday night to Sunday night and then just restart. So it was a lot, but we were so driven and we had that hunger to like really make this business our full-time job once we realized we could start making money from it. So we put our all into it. And like, I think we could have gotten there sooner if we did outsource, but also we were like, we didn't have a lot of money to invest at that time. I was 22 when we first started this business. I'm now 26. And so it has changed too, because we definitely have more income to play around with now.
I feel like in the beginning, those are really the two things that you can invest in your business, though, is you either invest money or you invest time. And it changes throughout it. So like in the beginning, we didn't have, like G was saying, the money. So we would invest all of our time into it so that we could start to make the money. And now that we have money, like one job in January can pay for us to hire our team for the whole year. It starts to become that type of thing to where you're investing a little bit of money, but it frees up so much more of your time to where you can spend it growing the rest of your business.
As long as you hire the right people.
This is true.
And it's scary to find the right people. It takes a little bit of coercing yourself into saying like, I can let go. I don't need to be in control. And that's really hard for a type A person like me and him, honestly. He's not super type A, but like we're both really like, what's the word?
I feel like you just think that you can do it better. Like no one is going to do it as good as me. And if that is your mindset, I promise you, you're never going to grow to be that. We are in a room with people that are making tens of millions of dollars, like all these amazing entrepreneurs. And the biggest thing they said to do was you have to outsource. And that was,
you can't do everything. Yeah. It's just, it's not. And maybe they won't do it as good as you. Sometimes they'll do it better. Sometimes they'll be like right below where you are. But at the end of the day, it's like, are they still producing an ROI for your business?
And you can't be good at everything.
Jack like of all trade, master of none.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Like maybe going back to the octopus, maybe you're really, really good at video editing. So you want to keep editing, but maybe you struggle with scripting or negotiating.
Or thumbnail making.
Yeah, there's so many different parts of it where you really should pick the part that you are the best at and then start to outsource the pieces that you're not as good at.
80-20 principle.
Yeah.
It all comes down to that, I feel like. But
that
anyways.
That was a long-winded piece on outsourcing, though.
I feel like it integrated there, though. Yeah. But like, so that was YouTube. With Instagram,
it's a little bit different.
It's a little different. So Steven does all of our reels. He's a reels powerhouse machine. This guy produces so much video content in a week. It's insane. I do all the carousel posts, but it's kind of like, when I feel like it. we will actually. I made a whole schedule for our carousels.
You're getting a carousel up today.
I know, in like 20 minutes. and I made a whole schedule for this month and I wrote out all the captions on the plane and I just now have to like source the photos. So I'm getting back on my grind this month, but sometimes I get really excited about things and then I burn myself out from going too hard. Like I'm gonna post a carousel every day. And then I shouldn't have done that.
I feel like you didn't notice that you did that though. So
now Steven brought it to my attention.
So she was like, I'm gonna do 30 blogs in a month. And she did the 30 blogs in a month.
And it was awesome. We hit 50,000 sessions.
But then the next three months she did maybe 1 to 2 blogs and then same thing with carousels. It was like, I'm gonna do 4 carousels a week for the whole month, and then the next 3 months we only posted 2 carousels.
I get really gung-ho and then I lose it. Yeah, so
I feel like that's totally normal though throughout the content creator spheres. You get people are like, I'm gonna do a 30-day challenge, and they push and they don't get the like huge results that they wanted, so
they
slow down to maybe 2 or 3 posts a month. And I think of everything as a 3-month rule. Like if you put everything you have into the 3-month process of posting every day for 90 days or spending 90 days learning everything you can about how to pitch and getting better at that, you're not really going to see the results in those 90 days. It's going to be it's really going to fall into the 90 days after you finish going through that process. Like if we bust our butts January through March on pitching, trying to make our business grow, everything, we're not really going to see the fruits from that until April, May, and June, and then we'll have a great Q2.
Yeah.
But you might not see it right away.
That's why the consistency is the biggest thing. And so after that, he brought it to my attention probably like January of last year, because that's when I did the 30 days of blog thing.
Instead of doing 30 days of blogs, why don't you do
just space them out
1 to 2 blogs a week for 3 months? I would much rather that than all of it in 1 month.
And it took someone else for me to realize that I was doing that. And so like when I was just going through on the plane ride yesterday home, I was like, okay, I'm going to schedule all these out. So it's not every day. It's like every other day or every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, whatever it is. And that way we can space it out and I won't get super like, about it. And if I'm ahead of the game and I can pre-schedule all of those, even better.
And I feel like that brings up a good thing. Like there's two of us, so I feel like that does make it a little easier. If G notices something that I'm doing, I can tell her about it. If I notice something that
I could tell you about it.
Vice versa. It goes both ways. But if you are another creator or you're trying to get into the space and you're not sure where to start or you need some help, it's okay to ask for help. Like I promise you we are never going to look at our DMs and be like, we had 5 people ask us for help. I would never, ever go in. We're going to answer every single DM.
Okay, I will say like we will always help, but there are some people that don't. So like finding to put your trust in like certain people that will give you honest feedback and things like that. I think we've mentioned it before, like find your core group on the socials, because we have a group of like 10 creators that we all kind of started around the same time in the middle of COVID. And now we all kind of like, we have a group chat where if someone's needing advice or wanting some sort of opinion on something, we'll just throw in the group chat and they'll give honest feedback. Or like if we need help on something or if we think our content's not performing well, we'll be like, hey, can you put some eyeballs on this? Like, just let us know if it was a shitty post or if it's just, you know, the algorithming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I think it's super important to surround yourself with a group of people that you're comfortable asking for help, whether that's like a mentor, like what we're trying to be for people with the Creator Passport, or if that's just a bunch of other creators. Like one of our good friends, Dalton, he says he's in this group called the Geneva Group.
And no, it's not the group. That's the platform they use.
Oh, is it a platform?
Yeah, it's a platform.
Oh, I thought it was like a group chat they called the Geneva
no,
Group.
No. It's just, that's the like, it's like a group me kind of platform.
Oh, well, anyway.
Steven's not hip with the lingo.
I am not. I post too many reels. I don't have time to be hip with them.
Yeah.
But they created like this little group chat. It's just for creators. And they'll talk about like, oh, I just got this pitch. How much are you charging? How much are you not charging? They'll put things out there and ask for assistance. And I feel like especially in the first 10% of your journey as a content creator, you're going to do 90% of the learning in the first 10%. It's such a big learning curve, which is why it's important, I think, to go out and ask for help. And same thing if you're trying to outsource, ask your friends. If you see someone else killing it, hey, do you have anyone that you would recommend for an assistant? Like we've gave a few people our editor's number because he doesn't always accept them because he has lots of other things going on. But it's important to just reach out, ask for help. I think it's a huge part that a lot of people miss out on in the creator economy because it does feel like you're in your own little box. You're just posting things on the internet. You're not going to work and you don't have other coworkers really.
But everyone, I feel like online in your niche is kind of like your virtual coworker.
Exactly.
Yeah. But anyways, that was a whole other tangent. So he does the reels. I do the carousels and I do the stories, and then DMs and comments is a mix of us and our executive assistant. And because we do still pride ourselves in getting back to everyone that messages us and all the comments within 24 hours. It's really hard to answer all of them because we do post so often after 24 hours, but we will always try to make a commitment to being there for our community. And so that's why having our assistant come in and help us with questions that we get in our DMs too, that could be answered by anyone.
And it's not like
that's nice.
Not being personable, having someone else go in and answer your DMs, it really comes down to we get the same exact questions
over and over and over.
So
yeah.
If we go in and answer one, we can say, hey, can you go in and answer the other 50 people that ask the same question? Just copy and paste our answer. Or they start to learn how we respond to certain things. It just makes it to where everyone's still getting a response. They get the information that we want. And then if our assistant or anything can't answer, they're like, oh, I think that Giselle and Steven would like to see this. Just put it in primary. And we still go in once a day or once every other day and respond to all the ones that are in primary. So we still keep that super tight-knit group or super tight-knit community.
And like personalized responses that require us to like actually talk to them. If it's like a generic question like what camera do you use, you know, it's very easy to do that.
Yeah.
And now with automations, because we haven't really touched on automations, there's these really cool apps called ManyChat and LinkDM, and now you can literally just have like people get automated responses if they want something, which is really nice. So you can say like, oh, like comment this word on my last post and we'll send you like a link to our latest YouTube video. So now we don't even have to do that anymore, which is so nice. Mm. Like that freed up so much time. I love automations and I love all of those like cool little response generator things. So if you guys haven't looked into that, I highly recommend checking out those apps. Those are very useful for the everyday workflow on Instagram, especially.
I feel like another thing to talk about automations too, is it depends on like what your goal is. Like if we think about if blogging is your number one goal or if YouTube is your number one goal, feel like you can repurpose a lot of that content. Like what we do with Unfiltered Adventures, we record one long form content. And then from that, I can pull in 7 to 14 different shorts and I can just schedule them all. So I hop on Instagram and I'll schedule those 14 posts for the entire week. Obviously, that's because it's a third platform. I'm not trying to go on there and engage every day. But if, let's say, blogging, you really want to make that one of your main things that you're trying to grow on, you can go write a blog. Like Giselle just finished this amazing blog on New Zealand, and we could make that our next 7 posts for the week. Take a bullet point of what are the 7 things that you need to know before traveling to New Zealand, make a reel out of it. So you're not trying to constantly reinvent the reel and make new content. Same thing if, let's say, she has another section on best times to go. That can be another short. It just makes it so you can take your long form content
and micro blog it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And same thing with an email list too, because actually we did this a couple of days ago on the Creator Passport. Like, we started this email series of like a 5-part training thing leading up to the Creator Passport. And in those, we talk about a variety of topics, and we were like, well, why don't we just repurpose one of those emails to people that aren't on our list? And it ended up being one of our like best performing posts in the past week, where we literally just copy and pasted our email copy into the caption and made it more digestible, obviously. But it took a super small amount of time to go and tweak the email copy into a caption.
So basically that's what we're doing on Instagram. We have 7 posts go up on the Lover's Passport, and I'm doing all those 7 posts, but really we're just repurposing from TikTok, which we'll jump into in a second. And then after that, we're doing 7 Creator Passport posts, and we're getting all of these ideas by just creating our pillars. I feel like if you have strong pillars, and it's very easy to go through and look at, okay, what am I going to post today? Look at your pillars. Oh, I see that one of our really good posts is an editing one. Or, oh, I see one of our really good ones is 5 mistakes that new creators are making. So we'll make that video. So if you have a really good foundation with the type of pillars and the type of content and the branding that you've done in beforehand, it makes it really easy to constantly put out new stuff. And
it's like a huge workflow thing. I think when we look and audit new creators or newer creators that are like, why am I not growing? What am I doing wrong? I can't think of ideas to post consistently. I feel like it really comes down to branding. And that's a big foundational step to take that a lot of people don't necessarily spend the time on, because they just want to jump in and immediately start making money and growing. But like, having a good idea of, okay, like the top 5 to 10 things that you want to post about on your account, and then like breaking those down into further categories. Like, I feel like when we're talking about niching, everyone's like, oh, niche down. But I feel like you just need to take your niche as a general thing, and then get specific with your brand pillars, and then from your brand pillars get specific with your Reels pillars or your short form pillars.
And that's a lot of what we teach in the Creator Passport. Yeah. We've dedicated like full modules in this course to explaining workflow.
But yeah, and we've also posted it several times on the Creator Passport account. So if you guys don't follow that on Instagram, you can go check it out. But that, I feel like, is the biggest thing. Anytime, if you guys have done any of our like webinars or workshops, we always hit that home, because it clicks in your brain. Like, once you realize what content is going to be performing well on your page, and then realizing there's tons of different ways to portray it, then it's going to make your workflow so much faster. And so that's how we're able to get so many ideas out. And then also like trend forecasting of what is happening that week, like dedicating the time to scroll on your phone and kind of figure out, oh, like, is this trend going to take off? Am I too late on it? Like, all that kind of stuff kind of goes into that. But that also goes and applies to TikTok.
Yeah, I feel like on TikTok, it's the same type of thing. So basically, when we're posting on TikTok, our workflow is we find the sounds that we're interested in or the ideas. And then when I go to edit it, all I do is drop those 3 different sound pieces into our projects, because we edit on Final Cut Pro. If you're not editing on a computer, stop it's what you're doing changing. Right now. Go. CapCut even has a full version.
Desktop version. That's what I use if I have to edit one.
It's going to change your entire workflow. If you're trying to edit everything on your phone or your iPad, like,
slows you down so much.
Dude, I don't even know how people do it. But anyway, I create the 3 different projects. I'll spend maybe 5 to 10 minutes culling through footage, pulling in the footage, and then cutting takes maybe 2 to 3 minutes to line it up with the music. Because most of the time when you're doing Instagram Reels or TikTok, you're only going to want 15 to 1 minute video. So they're pretty short knit. And it's not like every single video we're putting out is super complicated. I do 3 different videos every day, where one is a super short pan or a transition 1 to 2 clips. The second one is going to be some type of listicle, like 5 places in the US you need to visit, or 7 things you need to know before you go to Norway. Very easy to just chop up 1 clip per tip. And then the last one is usually like a montage or a longer video. So,
or a voiceover. We've been testing out voiceovers, because we're very uncomfortable doing voiceovers, which is ironic because we do them all the time for YouTube. And obviously, like, we have a podcast, so we can talk. But for some reason, voiceovers on TikTok and Instagram freak us out.
Well, I think they freak us out because they just don't perform very well for
us. Travel, it's really hard to do voiceovers in a really good and engaging way. Some of our friends are fantastic at it. Like, if you go look at our friend Quinn Gable, she does van life with cats. Her voiceovers are fantastic. Same thing with like Claire and Peter. They do amazing, funny voiceovers, but we're just not that funny. Like, I just don't think that we are like that level of scripting and like entertaining content. We're much more inspirational, I think, than funny.
Or like informational, because we grew on like best places to go.
Yeah.
Here's an itinerary. Lots of information, but we don't necessarily like, oh, look at this.
Our comedic bits are like character bits. They're more like skits almost. They're not voiceovers. So like, even though we do put out some funny content, like I do think we're occasionally, you know, a good time. But they're usually like stereotype skits of like, oh, my airport wife doing this and like my golden retriever husband doing that. Like, it's not us talking.
Yeah.
And I hate the sound of my own voice, which is another, I remember when we started this podcast, I was like, I don't want to start a podcast. Like, that is like my worst literal nightmare. And then everyone received it pretty well. So here we are. So
yeah, if you guys are listening, thanks for being here. We don't really monetize this platform at all.
This is just for funsies.
Yeah. We just love hanging out with you guys. I think we have lots of things to say. Anytime, we just got back from Norway and we sat down with two other amazing creators that we met out there that recognized us. And we literally just sat in a hot tub for 4 hours just talking about life, business,
travel.
Yeah, we
were like, we thought it was like an hour and they were like, oh shoot, it's like 1 a.m.
Yeah, it was great. If you ever see us out there or you ever want to chat or you're in Southern California, hit us up. We love to meet new people and just chat about things. But I feel like that is basically TikTok. We do one very short video, one mid video, and one more complicated video.
Let me see how they do.
All of those edits in like an hour, maybe an hour and a half max. And then from there, repurposing. Repurposing is like the number one secret that any successful creator or multi-platform creator is doing and that you need to really be doing.
And like, don't only rely on repurposed content. Like, we will take all of our TikToks, and since we already made them, might as well post them to YouTube Shorts. And then we'll also repurpose the best performing ones to Instagram. We won't post all of our TikToks on Instagram, actually, because as our managers like to tell us, we want to have different content on different platforms, because otherwise it doesn't give people incentive to follow you on the different platforms. Because if you're just getting the same exact content, like, you really only be following them on one. So we do like keep some more funny, like off the cuff, like reality stuff over on TikTok versus Instagram's much more curated and pretty. And then obviously over here, we're unfiltered, we're unscripted, like behind the scenes.
I feel like all the platforms we do are very, not very different,
but they're pretty different. And then on YouTube, it's more like ultimate guide style, more vloggy kind of stuff than the same stuff we put on Instagram. But we do repost all the like TikToks we make as shorts. And we also post a lot of that and repurpose it on Instagram. But having some sort of different content for each platform is a good strategy, because like I said, you want to have people coming to you for different things on different places so that they remain engaged and interested versus just like, oh, I already saw this video on the Clock app, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, that's basically like, if we think of Facebook, which is the next platform we're going to talk about, we just repost all of our TikToks. But I feel like
our audience is so different on Facebook. Yeah. Nobody would have already seen that.
I feel like we treat it almost, at least in my mind, like a broadcast channel. Like on Facebook, we're going to share our YouTube videos. We're going to share the podcast. We're going to share all of our reels.
Blogs.
We're going to share our carousels, our blogs. Like anything that we put in our broadcast channel on Instagram, we're throwing up on Facebook, because it's a very different audience, like you said, which is also can be great if you're repurposing. If we post a video on TikTok, it might not perform great on Instagram, but we might post it on Facebook and it'll go berserk.
Or YouTube. Our YouTube audience is completely different. It's like more men and older men versus our other, like TikTok and Instagram for us have a very similar dynamic. Like they both our target audiences are both like millennial females for the most part. Usually it's like a 65-35 split for like gender. And then most of them are based in the US or Canada or Germany or the UK and India. We do have a bigger following in India as well. But the interesting stuff is looking at the analytics on like Facebook, definitely more like 45 to 55. But it makes sense, because honestly, a lot of the trips that we're doing are, you know, do require a little bit more income that like the 18 to 25 might not have. And so I feel like on TikTok and Instagram, we do a lot more like the road tripping budget travel stuff. And then the stuff that does really well on Facebook, it's more like the Bora Bora honeymoon or like the more expensive style trips. Or there are road tripping ones and it's all the boomers being like, you know, just shitting on our travel style.
Yeah, that's very true. I feel like all the short form platforms like TikTok, YouTube Shorts, Instagram, and then Facebook. We also like the long form platforms like blogging. I feel like if you could probably just do blogging full time, and that could take up all.
Not
of
probably.
Your...
You can. Well, if I you mean, guys have listened to, I think we had Michelle on our podcast a while ago. You can go listen to her episode. She's the Wandering Queen, and she makes full time income just from blogging.
But I mean, if let's say you wanted to dabble in blogging, you could dedicate so much of your time during a week into just writing 1 to 3.
It
blogs.
Takes. It does take a long time to write a blog. You have to do like the SEO research. You have to do all the keywords, all the actual writing. Then you have to do. To source all your images, compress all the images, like write the blog, promote the blog, and then yeah, just it does take me a lot of time to do one.
Yeah.
Especially if you're doing it well. And if you're doing it like it depends on the style too. If you're doing like a listicle, I feel like it goes faster. But if you're doing like an itinerary one, those take me forever. Like I remember the Guatemala one. Right now one of our best performing blogs for the month is one I wrote a while ago, probably like a year or two ago. And it's like a 7-day Guatemala itinerary. And I remember writing that and I was like, God, this takes so long, especially because no one else had a blog like that. And which is why it's doing so well, because nobody had an itinerary. It's a really hard trip to plan. And because of that, writing it like took a very long time. But those are usually ones that also have the biggest payoff. So just, yeah, it takes a lot longer for me to write a blog or get all the SEO for a YouTube video done than like posting 3 carousels.
Yeah, very true. And I mean, if you're a new creator and you're trying to like do this many different platforms, I really would suggest like just picking
like
one and then growing it. Like we've been doing this now for 4 years. So that's why we're able to get up almost 70 posts a week.
And there's 2 of us and a team. We have a team behind us. If you are doing this solo, don't you dare try and do all of this.
And I think that's a big problem that's like not talked about in the creator industry is people don't...
They don't see the behind the curtain.
Yeah, there's so much that goes into this, which is why
we're doing this episode.
We're trying to be as unfiltered as we can, talk about like how much really goes on behind the scenes. I feel like it really is truly like a 30 to 40 hour work week if you were just... creating content, pitching, and then putting this in. I mean, that's how much
we work. TBH, we do work a lot. We're both kind of workaholics. And so it just really depends on your workflow and style. But I feel like we work the least amount that we've ever worked now.
But I feel
versus
like if we're
a couple years ago.
Only talking about Lover's Passport, like personally, I edit from like 9 a.m. to maybe 11.
Okay.
11:30.
If we're only talking about Lovers, then yeah, we work a lot less than we used to. But because
minimal.
We have now a second business, we are still working a lot because, especially with a course launch coming up, and I think we could honestly do a whole episode on launching your own digital products because that is like, oh my God, there's been so much work poured into this course over the past year that, I mean, we've launched digital itineraries, we've launched group trips before, we've launched like our ebooks, but nothing has compared to the amount of learning and like actual strategy behind a launch versus this course. Like, I feel like there's obviously the creation side. And I feel like Steven did a lot of the heavy lifting on that. And then now when it comes to the marketing side, it's my turn to do the heavy lifting. And then we launch and then it's back to like 50-50, but it's been such a time suck. So I'm really excited to finally get it out into the world now that we've done all the hard work and just do the coaching because we love the coaching part.
Yeah, I think that's what, like, if you look at how much of our time we're actually dedicating to the Creator Passport and the Lover's Passport, I feel like we're dedicating more time
like
to that. If we
not 70-30, you think?
No, like, I'd probably say it's like 60-40. But like, like what I was saying, the Lover's Passport, I personally only spend like maybe 3 to 4 hours a day doing sponsored editing posts, setting up some pitches, editing and posting all of our platforms.
And then I probably spend like an hour on stories. And then depending
blogging,
if I'm doing a carousel, SEO. That's like another hour, like editing the photos. Actually, honestly, the photo editing takes me the longest part because I do want to like put a really nice set up. And I never only post one photo on Instagram anymore. It's always a carousel, which I miss the good old days of Instagram of just being able to post one photo and be done with it. And because that used to, like in 2020, that would have taken me like 10 minutes to get like a photo all done. And now it's like, well, I need like 5 to 8 or something along those lines. And so it takes me a little longer, but that's why I try and batch write my captions. Batching your content, especially when it's not tied to like Reels trends or TikTok trends, when it comes to carousels, being able to just brain dump if I'm like somewhere without Wi-Fi and I want to be doing something productive, I'll just write captions on a note on my phone and then have them for a rainy day when I have photos to go with them. And that's helped a lot too. I feel like batching, automations, outsourcing, Anything else you would say with like that kind of stuff? I feel like also time blocking has really helped.
Yeah.
And like saying, okay, in the morning, Steve and I have very different morning routines, but like he's such a morning person. I'm so not. I'm not that person that wakes up at 6 a.m. and goes to work out and then has my acai bowl and then works all day and blah, blah, blah. Hey, I need a slow morning.
Wrong with the hustle culture.
Yes, I am not. I like to have a slow morning because I'm way more of a person who is super functional from like 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Like those are my prime work hours. Honestly, even like 12 to 8 p.m. Like I am much more of an afternoon night person than a morning person. Same thing why I can only do like afternoon or night workout classes. I just can't do it in the morning. I've tried being the 5:30, 6 a.m. workout girly. I just can't. And once I finally accepted that, I was much better for it. I'm way more consistent going to workout classes in the afternoon. But like I like to wake up slow, have my coffee, get ready, maybe do a hobby in the morning. Like I haven't been knitting, but I took up knitting and like something else, or like go to yoga or I don't know, and take Karen for a walk and then or read or something like that. And then I'll get into work because I feel like I'm more awake. I'm not like, you know, just wasting time twiddling my thumbs pretending to work. And then from there I'll work like in the morning. I usually section off like 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on lover stuff. And then we have a lunch break. And then after that, it's creator passport stuff. And then after creator passport stuff, I will go from there. But yeah, usually for the time blocks, I'll start off with stories in the morning for like an hour, then getting a carousel ready or working on blog research for an hour or two. And then from there, like any miscellaneous things like emails, pitching, whatever, another hour. And then so on and so forth. I think time blocking can really help, especially for Steven tried suggesting I only do time blocking for certain things, but I just like realized that wasn't, I can't do an hour by hour play. It just is too different every day. So for me having, for me personally having like, okay, I'm doing lover stuff in the morning and creator stuff in the afternoon. That was all I needed. I didn't need to be like, oh, this hour and this hour and this hour, but it does help to have some sort of to-do list and like assign it to certain things during during the day. I feel like
for me, I know that every single day whenever I sit down, I'm gonna spend 15 minutes going through the emails, making sure there's nothing that we need to do. Immediately I'm gonna spend the next hour getting all of the 3 TikTok posts ready. Immediately after that, I know I'm gonna spend an hour working on posting everything, so setting up Unfiltered Adventures, creator passport, lover's passport, going through DMs, and then after that 1 to 2 hours doing the sponsorship stuff, going through DMs, pitching people, and then 2 hours if we're sitting down to record a podcast or if we're doing any type of creator passport stuff. I feel like if you break it up and think of it as like, what's the task that I need to do, and then hitting it, it makes the day so much easier rather than being a squirrel and like, oh, I just got an email. Oh, I got to go back to edit this. Only, oh, I haven't posted stories today. Oh, I got to do this. Oh my gosh, I got to write a blog. Oh, I'm getting a phone call from this. I forgot. I missed it. Like you can go off the rails if you're not organized.
What is it, the chicken with your head cut off or
something? Yeah, I feel like you really need like a good system. And once you come up with that good system, like that, obviously you can see Giselle has a very different what her day looks like for me. But when we do need to do things like the podcast, or we do need to do some things like hop on a call with our manager, it's very easy for us to schedule it in.
Also Google Calendar.
Yeah.
So helpful, because I will put on there like when I'm working on particular things, if they have a hard deadline, and Steven can be like, okay, well, we need to film a podcast and we need to do the YouTube video. What's your schedule like? Even though we live together and we work right next to each other, I need lists. Like, I'm like, if you want me to do something that is not in your workflow, write it down for me and give me a note, because I just will not do it. If it's not on my to-do list, I will not do it. Or if it's not my Google Calendar, I won't do it, because that's how I prioritize things. I put them in a calendar. I write them down. And that's just how my brain works. But yeah, anyways, that's a whole side tangent. We're getting a little lengthy on the episode here.
Yeah, but anyway, I feel like if you were ever wondering like what's going on behind the scenes, that's kind of what it's taking to run such a big business, between like running 3 different pieces now, or 3 different quote unquote businesses, if we call the podcast like our new little fun baby business, and the creator passport launching next week, and then all the stuff we're doing on lovers. I feel like it really comes down to having a good system, making sure that you're comfortable outsourcing would be like the first thing, like G said, batching your content. Maybe I heard this really interesting thought where it was like, okay, on Monday, I'm going to do all of my editing for the week. Tuesday, I'm going to do all of my pitching for the week. Wednesday is going to be all of my project management, like setting up emails, funnels, whatever else you need to do. And then you have 2 days off, and then you can go out and do content creation stuff. So you can break down your week however you want.
Yeah, whether it's hour by hour, day by day, or like morning, afternoon.
Day by day, because we're gone so much. We never know if we're going to be home, if we're going to be gone traveling, or if something comes up. So we like to break it down by day. It's a little easier for us.
And but always leave room for some miscellaneous tasks, because sometimes like you'll get something in the email and you're like, oh, I did not allot time for this. And so having the flexibility mindset is super important. And then also making sure you have room for like a social life. And we usually have our set lunch break time where we don't do any work, and then we also make sure we cut off around what, like 6 p.m.
Yeah, I feel like being, I would say the word is intentional. Like as soon as we just got back from the 20 days in Norway. So now that we're home, I texted my mom right away. And I'm like, all right, mom, I'm home from this date to this date. When do you want to meet up for dinner?
Same thing with like my mom, his dad.
Our friends. I'm like, hey guys, I really want to see this movie. Or hey, what do we think about doing our Friday night game night? We're really intentional with when we are home, when we spend time. And we let all of our friends know too.
You can't just
expect people like, okay, it's Saturday, good morning everyone, what should we do? Like, no, people are too busy, especially if you're
in your late 20s. Like you no longer, you can't, it's not like you're 18 anymore and you'd be like, let's go out tonight guys, who's down?
Yeah
people need notice, and so we're usually pretty top of it.
And I feel like we are really good about, Giselle reaches out to her friend, said let's set like a monthly or weekly meetup where we all go out and grab dinner or something. I with my boys Jonah and Chris, every single week we go and we're gonna try and play golf, and
or
then we go
coffee.
And get coffee, and we just talk about life, decompress, super chill. I feel like setting those scenes up and being intentional about that, whether that's with friends or you're doing it on Zoom or maybe you go to a group or whatever it is, but being super intentional to just get away is so healthy for yourself and just life in general.
And just like remembering there's usually other things in life you have to do, like make sure, like we also split up things in our personal life as well, where we have very separate tasks. I know a lot of people always ask like, how do we split up our tasks? And I think we did a good job talking about like who does what in the relationship for the work side, but also like the mental and physical load of your actual like life. So like grocery shopping and like taking Karen out and taking out the trash and doing all the chores, like applying all of these things and putting them in your personal life also helps so much. Like making sure you know who does what. And if you're doing it 50-50, making sure you're communicating and all that kind of stuff.
And if you guys have any questions on what we're talking about, or like our workflow or how we set up anything, I feel like that's our biggest question is like, how does your workflow? If we didn't get the answer in this, just shoot us a DM.
Or go on the Creator Passport account, because we've done several things about workflow over there as well.
But anyway, I think that's going to be wrapping up this week's episode on how we are able to get out 70 posts a week, what's our workflow, what's our process like with having a social life, running two businesses now, and being able to travel.
But
it's
kind
of the behind the scenes.
I do want to say, like, this, we've said it before on like some of our Instagram pages before, but I think this episode is why it's so important to not compare yourself to, like, as someone who's starting on day one to someone's day 800 or 1,000 of doing content creation, because you do not know how long they've been doing this, if they have a team, like, or if they have a partner, because that is like so huge in being able to scale the business. Having someone who I can have 50-50 like split duties with has been 100% the game changer for us, at least in like terms of how fast we've been able to build a six-figure business. And you just like can't see how much work they're putting in behind the scenes. And so it may not be like, you know, how we first started, the gal that goes and does the grocery store shopping and gets her nails done and goes to Target.
The voice is coming back.
It is back. Because you can't compare people like that to like seeing behind the scenes of what they actually do. Do they have a team doing all this stuff for them, and that's how they're able to go and do all of this?
Yeah.
Do they have a sugar daddy? I don't know.
Oh boy. Whole different conversation. Anyway, but if you guys are interested in the Creator Passport, the $3,000 in content creation, just go check out the Creator Passport. We're launching the webinar today. It's going to be on March 29th. If you guys are interested in subscribing or more unfiltered content, we're going to be doing unfiltered travel and content creation content. Those are two favorite things in our passion. So we're really excited that you guys are here listening. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, don't forget to leave us a 5-star review. And as always, please share this with one other person. You might find this interesting if you are, you think that they're might trying to get into the content creation world, or that maybe they feel completely overwhelmed and burnt out because they feel like they don't have enough time in the day. Hopefully this can shed some light on them.
And with that, we will see you next week with another episode. Bye.